Sherry, could you ask Rossi if she would come in? I welcome all of us here to this class. I'm delighted to see everyone. I thank Gabby for opening her beautiful home to this class, once again as a Beit Va'ad leChachamot veChachamim. And I always...
It's a privilege for us.
I always feel, as I sit here in this chair, next to this chair, the presence of Rebbetzin Hilda Reback. I think most of us can see her sitting here, and
I don't want it to be the empty chair. Please, anyone, feel free. She would want it that way.
But then you have to be very smart to sit in that chair.
That's why I'm not sitting.
You have to remember everything.
Right. Brilliant
mind. I think it's particularly meaningful to be speaking in this home about Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, whose memory was encyclopedic, because Rebbetzin Reback could have sat near him and could have finished those psukim from anywhere, within Tadash. I'd like to invite everyone who's here to join us on Sunday. I think the most significant thing that Nishmat has done in the United States is about to be celebrated this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. at the Spanish Portuguese Synagogue. We have our first class of U.S. educated Yoatzot Halacha who are going to be certified on Sunday. You are all welcome. Please bring as guests anyone that you wish. Spanish Portuguese Synagogue, Sunday at 11:30. Gabby, thank you so much for opening your home. We're beginning this year's series right now. Now, you know, normally I teach Tanakh, but I felt after the passing of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef that it was very important to speak about him. I know that some of you may have heard some of his sharp comments about other figures within Jewish life. But I think we should put that aside right now and deal with his Torah, because it's so very important. And I await seeing what's going to happen now. What I'd like to do is give you a little picture of what his life looked like. Stop me, ask questions, make comments, and I'd like to read excerpts from several of the tshuvot that he wrote. It's a tremendous corpus of written work that brought about dramatic changes in the configuration of Jews in Israel. So let me start by a little bit of his biography. He was born in Baghdad. He came to Israel with his family at age 3. He was not born into a family of Talmidei Chachamim. His father was a silversmith in Baghdad. When his father and his family came to Jerusalem, Leah, there are sources here. Please take. Welcome and please take. When his family came to Jerusalem, his father became a grocer. The family was large. The family was so poor that there were stories that Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, as a youth, would go to a bookstore in order to read, and that he would stand there and read through the Shulchan Aruch every day, just in the bookstore, and he was eventually given a copy by the seller, who would give him damaged or old copies that he had. So he grew up in a very poor family. He did what other children of that period did. He began other Yerushalmim. He began his education in what's called Talmud Torah, which is the equivalent of a cheder, but a Sephardi cheder. When he was around Bar Mitzvah age, he began studying at the one Sephardi yeshiva that standing that existed at that time in Israel, which is Porat Yosef, was then in the Old City. He would walk from his home to the Old City. He did this with his colleague, Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul, who they were then friends. So he began studying at Porat Yosef, and Rabbi Abba Shaul, who passed away about 10, 12 years before Rabbi Yosef, commented that there was no one who could keep up with him, that his mind was so fast that there could be chavruta. Now, I think that is part of what produced him as an independent thinker. He had an encyclopedic memory. The day after he passed away, I was listening to the radio as I went to Jerusalem. As I went to Nishmat, and I heard a popular radio commentator saying, "You want to know who Rabbi Yosef was? He was a combination of Google's Wikipedia and Waze." Waze, W-A-Z-E, is an Israeli invention. A traffic director that gives you a smart traffic director that lets you know how long it's going to take, what's the quickest way to get somewhere. He had a photographic memory, a remarkable retentiveness, the kind of thing that happens once in a millennium or so. And so no one could be his chavruta. What happened as a result? He sat and he read 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 and he read. As a young child, he was already tested on Masechtot of Mishnah and also Bava Metzia that he had learned by heart. When he was 17 years old, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Atiya, sent him out to give a shiur. He had marvelous rhetorical ability, you know that. He was humorous, and he was a man of the people. So when he was 17 years old, Rabbi Atiya sent him out to a shul in Beit Yisrael, in the Bukharib, a Persian shul, to give a shiur between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Now, Mincha and Ma'ariv is a time, it's a very rough time. People come to shul for Mincha at the very end, the last thing in their work day, they manage to get in a Mincha minyan, and then they're stuck in shul until Ma'ariv. So what you need at that time is the kind of shiur that's going to be able to hold people's attention, that isn't too heavy. And amongst the Sephardim, universally, what was taught at that time was Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai is the work of Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was born in 1920. Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad passed away a little more than a decade before Rabbi Yosef was born. In other words, he's the century before Rabbi Yosef. He wrote a book which combines, at the beginning, he wrote many books, it's prolific. He wrote the Ben Ish Chai that he wrote, which gained universal acceptance within the Sephardi community, starts out every week with nice Divrei Torah, with Divrei Torah on the Parsha. And then afterwards he deals with halakha. So you can find it all in the Ben Ish Chai. Now, the Ben Ish Chai was a mystic, was a mekubal. And what was learned in Shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv, what is said is the Ashkenazim at that time learned Ein Yaakov and the Sfardim Ben Ishchai. In other words, not something that was heavy, something that's uplifting, that gives you a focus to your day, that makes you more pious. That's what was done in Shul. Rabbi Yosef, and we're going to read something in just a moment, was asked to give a shiur in Ben Ishchai. He was 17 years old. Rabbi Atiyah, his Rosh Yeshiva, asked him to give a shiur. So he sat down to prepare for the shiur. He describes this. He describes this many years later. Look at source number one. I'm going to read more of this later, but I still want you to see. Halichot Olam is Rabbi Yosef's work on the Ben Ishchai. It follows the order of the Ben Ishchai, and it gives his comments on the Ben Ishchai. And he writes as follows. V'kodem misirat hashiur. And before delivering the shiur, I would delve deeply into each and every halacha that the Ben Ishchai brought. Ladat ech linhog halacha l'maseh, in order to know how to conduct ourselves practically. Ulehorot et Beit Yisrael, and how to rule for Israel, for the community of Israel. Ra'o ra'iti b'sefer Ben Ishchai kama v'chama halachot neged dat Maran Hashulchan Aruch. I saw in the book Ben Ishchai quite a number of halachot against the opinion of Maran, means our master, the Shulchan Aruch. Hein mishum sharav Ben Ishchai chastain milei. Both because the Ben Ishchai was a man of chastain milei. Milei is his things. His words were chastain, were words of extraordinary righteousness. Hein mishum shekein hiskim midato harchava, and also because he agreed with his opinion from his great wisdom. Ulam, however, leda'atenu divrei Maran Hashulchan Aruch nachonim yoter v'amitiyim. But in our opinion, we're speaking about a 17-year-old, but in our opinion, the words of the Shulchan Aruch are more precise and truthful and correct. In other words, he said, Ben Ishchai chastain milei. His words are words of great righteousness. His words are words of a great tzaddik. But in our opinion, there are sources here. But in our opinion, the Shulchan Aruch is more correct. Ufrat she'anu kibalnu horaot Maran Shulchan Aruch bein hakel uvein mahachmir. Now this became a central theme in Rabbi Yosef's rulings across the years. We, meaning we who are living in Israel, accepted the rulings of the Shulchan Aruch across the board, both for leniency and for stringency. Because he is the Mara D'Atra of Eretz Yisrael. He is the ruling rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to explain to you in a moment exactly what happened. And even though some of the Babylonians means the Jews of Baghdad, became angered with me, she'ani posek neged Ben Ishchai, that I was ruling against the Ben Ishchai, hechzik biyadi mori hagaon Rabbi Ezra Atiyah Zatzal. My master, Rabbi Ezra Atiyah, held on to my hand. Okay, let me tell you what happened. You have this 17-year-old, the Rabbi Ezra Atiyah, has sent into the shul in Beit Yisrael, in the Bukharim, and he's supposed to give a shiur between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and he's supposed to give shiur on Ben Ishchai. So what does he do? He reads a line of the Ben Ishchai, And he says, and that's wrong, we should do this. He reads another line in the Ben Ish Chai, and he says, and that's wrong, and we should do this. He reads a third line in the Ben Ish Chai, and his shiur was on the Ben Ish Chai. One line after the next. Ben Ish Chai was a mekubal. If you ask what book was the most accepted amongst Sephardim, and this goes as far as North Africa, you know, East and West Sephardim. The North Africans are called the Ma'aravim, the Westerners. The answer is the Ben Ish Chai. He was a man of tremendous piety. That was the word that I was looking for. Ben Ish Chai, he says, Chasta'in Milei, his words are pious. And Rabbi Yosef was saying, that's not the standard that we need to rule by. We need to recognize the piety, but that's not the standard. So he goes and reads, and he does this for a couple of days, and you have davening in the shul, people who are years older than him. He says, this is like a high school boy. Think of a high school boy, 17 years old, he's probably a senior in high school, unless he's a precocious junior in high school, I don't know. And he's giving a shiur, and people become outraged. And they go to Rabbi Ezra Atiyah, and they say, send him away. And Rabbi Atiyah personally came to shul, to the shul with him, and said, you are going to listen to him. This is a star on the rise, on the Jewish horizon, on the Torah horizon. You are going to stay here and you are going to listen to his words. It took a couple of weeks, and wall posters, you know, wall posters in Jerusalem, the Satmar Rebbe said what holds up Mea Shearim is the wall posters on either side, they hold up the walls. Well, wall posters appeared with the words Na'ar Ba'ar Mistovev Bishchunateinu. It's as if you were going to say, you know, rapist at large, young girls, beware. And it was signed by no less than the venerable Rabbi Kaduri, the Mekubal, the great Mekubal. Na'ar ba'ar mistovev bishkunateinu. A wild youth is at large in our neighborhood. And it goes on to say, and it's a mitzvah to expel him. Because what was he doing? Here he was challenging what was universally accepted. Now, I told you, he had no chavruta. So what was he doing? Who did his chavruta become? The answer is he was sitting there as a very, very young person. He was already writing when he was 9 years old. You're speaking about a prodigy. You're speaking about notebooks that are in existence, that have been examined. And as a 17-year-old, there he is in the shul, in the Bukharim, reading line by line of the Ben Ish Chai, and this is wrong. Ben Ish Chai, and this is wrong. Ben Ish Chai, chasta'in mile. Chasta'in mile, his words are words of great piety. But that's not the way we rule. There's this... I think there's a notion that's not a correct notion, that what Rabbi Avadia Yosef was all about was the wars of the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. It's not so. He was about getting the Sephardim, building the Sephardim into one community. And when he started, the Ben Ish Chai was the ruling voice amongst the Sephardim. And Rabbi Yosef came with this notion of unifying all of the Sephardim under the aegis of the Shulchan Aruch.
So are you saying, Hanalu, that there were things that were diametrically opposed to what's in the Shulchan Aruch and Ben Ish Chai, and people were fighting?
Yes, Lechumra. Lechumra. Yes. Yes. Yes.
With an example, I'm just curious, what would be an example something that he would say this is wrong?
Well, there are many, many technical things. I mean, little things, little. Yeah. The Ben Ish Chai taught that you need to take challah from this amount of flour. Comes Rabbi Yosef and says, no, he's wrong. You need to follow the Rambam. And people were outraged. I mean, you don't start with a ruling. You don't start with a ruling on a controversial issue. You get controversial much later. But the point is, you move aside. Hey, I'll give you something else. The Ben Ish Chai says that you need to light candles like the Ashkenazim light candles. How do the Ashkenazim? We all know what we do. What do when we light candles? A bracha has to be over la'asiyata before you perform a mitzvah. So what do we all do? We say the bracha, and then, poof! We say the bracha, we cover our eyes as if we haven't made the bracha, and then we move our hands aside. The Ben Ish Chai ruled, you do that. It's under like the Ashkenazi. That's the Ashkenazi ruling. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef ruled like the Rambam. Ruled like the Shulchan Aruch, ruled like the Rambam, which is that you make the bracha and you light the candle. You say that to any Ashkenazi. You get an Ashkenazi who's going to watch someone lighting candles that way, and they're going to say, you're Mechal Shabbos. You can't do that. Once you make that bracha, you have accepted Shabbos, you can't light the candle. Ashkenazim will look upon you aghast. You are violating Shabbat. The Ben Ish Chai says, it rules just like the Ashkenazim. Under the influence of the Ashkenazim, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef says no. And you know what he did? And these were days before you had photocopy machines. He made up a stencil. Remember stencils and mimeograph machines? So he made up a stencil with a mimeograph machine, circulating it in the yeshiva, saying you have to light candles, and then you have to make your bracha, and then you light candles. So your issue is, are you violating the Shabbos? Is he telling everyone to violate Shabbos, and he's saying you have to follow Shulchan Aruch? Okay. Look at source number two. Source number two gives us a little sense of what's going on. But I just want you to understand, the beginning was not simple, because the people who opposed him were the Sephardim, including the gray eminences in the Sephardi community. Now, put this back against the backdrop of what's going on in Israel in general. No, actually, I'm going to tell you that when we get to source 3. But look at source 2. Source 2 comes from Yechaveh Da'at. Rabbi Yosef's tshuvot are collected in two works. One of them is Yabia Omer, the other is Yechaveh Da'at. Yabia Omer is the more... I say more scholarly, Yechaveh Da'at is scholarly. But what is written in a concise fashion in Yechaveh Da'at is written at very great length and with far greater use of sources in Yabia Omer. He had a radio program, I remember this from the 70s, Pinat HaAlecha Shel Rav Avadia Yosef, at 3 p.m. on Friday. I would listen to it every week in the 70s. And those... 15, he would speak for 15 minutes. It was fascinating, because he would say, and he says this, and he says this, and he says this, and you would just go through in a minute what a computer does, but he was doing it. And that was collected in Yechaveh Da'at, which, in Yechaveh Da'at he writes as follows. It's source number 2. Bimei Chorpi lifnei yoter me'arba'im shana. During my winter, 40 years ago, in other words, before I blossomed, ba'atzat rabotai asher hirshuli le'orel parabim, at the council of my rabbis, he's referring to Rabbi Atiyah, who permitted me to rule publicly, horeti lahalacha l'maseh shetzarich lahachrish chala bivracha mi shi'ur taf kuf chaf dram kemach. I ruled that one needs to separate challah with a bracha from this and this, draham is not a gram, it's a different measure. Kedivrei HaRambam uMaran shekein haminhag. Like the Rambam, and Maran means the Shulchan Aruch, and that thus is the custom. V'shelo kedivrei HaRav ben Ishchai, and not like Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the Ben Ish Chai. Umibein ha-talmidim ha-shomim et ha-ora'ah ha-nal hayu k'tzak me'adat ha-bavlim. And there were some Iraqis amongst the students who were listening to this. V'halchu v'sipru ha-dvarim lifnei ziknei chachmei bavel. And they went and they reported me to the elders of the Iraqi community. V'heim ha-ra'u kein tamahu she-tza'ir li-yamim kamoni yarhiv oz lachlok al ha-rab Ben Ish Chai. And they were astounded that a youth my age, I mean, just think of those wall posters that were up saying, Na'ar bar mistovev bishchunateinu. There's a wild youth at large in our neighborhood and it's mitzvah catch him. Amazing. So, and they said, "Ukishatanti lifnei Maya nuna divrei Harambam umaran haShulchan Aruch." So I said before them, "But what do you have to say before the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch?" Hayshivu li v'chi hagon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Baal Ben Ish Chai lo yadam divreihem. So they answered, and Ben Ish Chai didn't know about the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote differently. Asur lachlok arabeinu hagaon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Baal Ben Ish Chai. They said, the elder said, it is not permissible to have a machloket with the Ben Ish Chai. Ki ma neida anachnu v'hu lo yada. What can we possibly know that he did not know? Uve'emet shekol divreihem ein lahem shachar. And truly their words, that you can't be cholek on the Ben Ish Chai, ein lahem shachar. There is no basis for that. She'ein zo darka shel Torah. That's not the way of Torah. V'halo katav ha-gaon maharai ba'al tchumat ha-deshen. Rabbi Yisrael Iserlein, the author of the...
Isn't there a tradition, though, that we... we're not as holy or as smart as those that came before us, and therefore it takes more...
Already in the early Middle Ages it was said, yeah, but we're standing on their shoulders. So we may be lesser in stature than they are, but if we're on their shoulders, we see further.
So it's all right.
Well, what I'm trying to make to show you by these first tshuvot is that you have an autodidact who nobody could keep up with the pace of his mind, who is beginning to emerge as is emerging, who emerges, a 17-year-old, as someone who is going to take truck. Is that the bitui in English? No one. He was not going to bow to anyone. ובאמת שכל דבריהם אין להם שחר, שאין זו דרכה של תורה. ועלו כתב הגאון מהרי בעל תרומת הדשן בפסקיו, שיכול התלמיד לחלוק על רבו, רבי Yisrael Iserlein, the Trumat HaDeshen, that's around the 15th century, said that a Talmid can differ with his Rebbe. Shekein hi darkei Torah, darkei shel Torah mimei hatanaim. What Torah is not trying to do is to stifle opinions and thinking. This is away from the Tanaim. Sherabenu HaKadosh hayacholek al aviv. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi differed in some cases with his father. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi differed with his father, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rava haya cholek al rabba rabo. Rava differed, it doesn't mean on everything, but there were places where he differed with Rabba, his master. The Harosh Choleka Maharam Gotenberg, Rabbo, V'chulei. The Rosh has a machloket with Maharam Gotenberg, and so on and so on. V'chein mvoar v'tshuvot Harosh, Torah emet k'tiv ba, v'ein machnifim l'shum adam. And as the Rosh says, the Torah is true, and we do not how would you say chanufa in English?
Flattery.
But
flattery. Flattery?
Yes, we don't flatter anyone. We don't flatter anyone when it comes to Torah. Umi lanu gadol me Rashi. Who do we have who's greater than Rashi? V'nechleku alav yotzei yirecho. And his own descendants, his own grandchildren, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Ri, Balei HaTosafot, differed with him. V'satru dvarav b'harbei mekomot. Okay, let's go on. A tshuva that comes to us from the Egyptian period. Rabbi Yosef received smicha from Rav Ben Zion Meir Chayuziel, his Sephardi chief rabbi, when he was around 20 years old. And Rabbi Uziel sent him to Cairo, where he was for 2 years. And this tshuva comes from the Cairene period. It was written afterwards. Nishalti bedin yayin shenagabo mumar lechaleil Shabbat befarhesia. I was asked regarding wine that someone who violates Shabbat publicly touched open wine. Im efshar lahatiro b'shtiyah b'chdei shelo levayesh et hamumar. If one could permit the drinking of that wine so as not to shame the Sabbath desecrator, o yesh la osro kadin yayin nesech, or do we need to prohibit the wine, like the rule of yayin nesech? Peggy, there's a sheet here. Please take. We're on source number 3. So this was asked to him, and you can understand that his tshuva is going to lay down a framework for what.
How to deal with
non-religious Jews. So he's being asked if a secular Jew, someone who's Mechal Shabbos, if he touches the wine, can I drink that wine or can I not? So he writes as follows, V'yadati b'verur b'yoti b'mitzrayim, ki harbei min ha'anashim halalu, she'ovdim b'yom Shabbat n'tzorech parnatzatam, I know from my experience in Egypt that plenty of those people who go to work on Shabbos morning, when they finish work, and who go to work for their parnasa on Shabbos morning, when they finish work, they're not mechal of Shabbos. I saw myself by own eyes in Egypt. There are plenty of people like that. And they don't smoke on Shabbat. V'chayotzei b'zeh, and many other things. V'chelek mehem mitpalim b'shabbat b'minyan rishon. Some of them go to the early minyan on Shabbos kedei laspik lagia limkom avodatam bizman, in order to get to their workplace on time. Uv'mistarim tivken nafsham al mashahin mukhrachim l'chalel ha-shabbat l'tzorich parnasa. And their heart secretly cries for the fact that they need to go to work. I have to say that when I lived in Beit She'an, what I commonly saw was people who went to an early minyan in order to get to the soccer game. Rabbi Yosef is speaking about the fact that you have, it's very common, you have a huge Sephardi traditional community where people are not either or, and where the fact that you can see someone at a soccer game does not mean that this person doesn't respect Torah and doesn't respect rabbis, and you may see him riding on Shabbos and making Kiddush. And Rabbi Yosef is aware that what the answer to this question is going to determine whether we're writing these people out as beyond the pale or we're including them within. He's not saying it's okay, but he's determining what our attitude is. In other words, he's saying, if this person pours a cup of wine for me, may I drink that glass of wine or not? And his answer, his ruling, is going to determine what our attitude is to those people. So take a look at what he says. I brought you this tshuva because it's marvelously constructed. He says as follows. Let's see. ובאנשים הללו נראה לעניות דעתי ברור שאפשר להקל במגעם ביעין. And it seems to me regarding these people that one could be lenient regarding their touching the wine. אולם ראיתי בשוט מנחת אלעזר שכתב לדחות דברי הגאון בניין ציון דמי מהמי קידוש ותפילה כשמחלל שבת. Now the issue did not arise here. The issue started arising in Germany, where you had people who were, this goes back to the end of the 18th century, 18th, 19th century, where you also had people who were gam v'gam. What you had in much of secular Ashkenazi circles, but in Germany you had a similar situation, was, pardon me?
When you're getting to the Enlightenment.
When you get to the Enlightenment, so initially you have people who are gam v'gam, who are doing both. And then the question is, are they going to be pushed away or not being pushed away? And Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, the Binyan Sion, said, don't push them away. And the much later, the Munkacher Rebbe said that you're destroying the bounds of Judaism, and people will think it's okay to violate halacha. So the Munkacher wrote as follows: that is the Minchat Eliezer. The Mai Mahani Kiddushu Tfila Keshemachalel Hashabbat Mimlacha. What's the value of Kiddush and davening when one violates Shabbat with a prohibited labor? V'chiyesh shvita l'chatzi Shabbat. Is there such a concept of half Shabbat? Yishtaku hadvarim v'lo yeamru l'hakel al yedei zeh b'maga yeino. Let these words be forgotten and not said, to be lenient with touching the wine of such a person. Ve'ein dvarav muchrechim. Now you have Rabbi Yosef's response. His words are not compelling. She'sof sof eino dome kol kach l'kofer v'maseh b'reishit. Because that cannot be compared to someone who denies the creation of the world. Shezehu ikar hata'am shedin melchalel Shabbat ka'akum. This is the essential. This is the essential reasoning before. This is the essential reasoning for prohibiting the wine of someone who violates Shabbat, because you're dealing with someone who denies the Creator. Now, what Rabbi Yosef is going to do is separate between Zachor and Shamor. Zachor is a mitzvah of what? Do you know? Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. In the Ten Commandments, in Aseret HaDibrot, in Shmot, it says, remember Yom HaShabbat to sanctify it. In Dvarim, it says, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. In the version of Aseret HaDibrot, in Va'etchanan, it says, guard Shabbat to sanctify it. Rabbi Yosef, we learn from Zachor, Kiddush and Havdalah. We learn from Shamar the prohibitions. Guarding is guarding against, and remembering is those things that we need to do in order to sanctify and to signify. So from one we derive the mitzvot aseh, and from one we derive the negative prohibitions. What Rabbi Yosef is going to say is that violating Shamar is not tantamount to denying the Creator. What we say in Yasserin Brot, Zachorit Yom HaShabbat V'Kadshav, Sheshet Yomim Tavod, Ki Sheshet Yomim Asa Hashem Et HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz, because God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So Kiddush is about recognizing God as the creator of the world. What Rabbi Yosef is going to say is, you're right that there's no such thing as keeping a half Shabbat, but, and look at the but, he says, that is not correct, because it is not tantamount to denying Maaseh Bereishit, the creation of world. The reason that we consider halachically someone who violates Shabbat like a pagan is because someone who violates Shabbat is denying God's creation of the world. But now you say to yourself, well, what about that person who is riding in his car but goes to shul on Shabbos morning or makes kiddush? Can you possibly say that person is denying God as a creator? Can't say that, because he's going to shul or because he's making kiddush. Or because he'll put on a yarmulke at a funeral. You can't say that this person is denying God. Kedushat Shabbat b'tfilah v'kiddush, because on his lips is mentioning God as creator when he says kiddush. V'atu nidrosh midatenu lomar kol she'eino b'shmirah eino b'zchirah. Chazal, in explaining why women are mechuyavot, are obligated to kiddush, they say kol shehu b'shamor hu b'zachor. Anyone who is obligated by zachor is obligated by Shamor. So Rabbi Yosei says, and shall we extrapolate on our own strength to say anyone who does not include himself in Shmirah is not part of Zachira? Chazal say anyone who is in Zachor is in Shamor is in Zachor. He says, should we extrapolate and say anyone who doesn't include himself in Shamor is not in Zachor? Anyone who doesn't include himself in refraining from Melacha is not part of recognizing the Creator? We're going to say that? That's not so. V'lo kiyem afilu mitzvat Shabbat bidvarim? Avadai lo. And I am astounded, because even one who is a heretic violating Shabbat is nevertheless a Jew in all ways, and he is obligated in all of the mitzvot. And he will be punished for every single mitzvah that he violates. He's going to be punished even for violating a rabbinic law. In other words, if you push him away, what are you... what's the danger? He's going to violate more mitzvot. He's going to give up everything. So you're going to take a chance of pushing him away. If you have a chance that as a result of your embracing him, he's going to do one more mitzvah and refrain from one more sin, you have benefit, Chavi.
So this, what just came to mind is the issue of whether you invite someone over for Shabbat when you know they're going to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same.
Yeah, you're
it's,
going
it's
to get.
It's an extension of the same analysis.
Yes, it is an extension of the same issue.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an extension. I mean, it starts. You see where we started. I'm developing something in this year, and you see how we started with Nar Bar Mistoveg Shonatenu. There's a wild youth loose here speaking out against the Ben Ish Chai, attacking the Ben Ish Chai. Catch him and throw him out. We start out with that. We start out with someone who is true to the way he reads what he reads. And he's read through the Rambam. He's read through and he's holding on to. Now you go a little bit further and you see that you're touching on the issue of relationship with the non-religious and someone who is already totally independent is not lo mit kol feif. Now let's go a little further. Source number four that I brought you comes from the period of Petach Tikva. Came back to Yerushalayim. He was dying during from Egypt. He was dying in the morning. In the afternoon, he's learning the kolel of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And then he was appointed as a dayan in Petach Tikva. I think that was around 52.
Is there a plaque that he was learning in an Ashkenazi kolel?
There wasn't. Porat Yosef never.
Tzvi Pesach Frank was a great man, so I'm just curious what
there wasn't really anything else for him. The only thing was Porat Yosef, and Porat Yosef, once it was in the old city, right. It was in its heyday in the old city. Once the old city was captured by the Jordanians, it never really recovered. And Porat Yosef was a yeshiva, it wasn't a kolel. So he came back and he found a place in the kolel of Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank, who afterwards very much became his advocate. Now, something very interesting happened. Beginning in the 50s, he was appointed by now a dayan in Petach Tikva. You know, the 50s is when the Sephardi Aliyah began in earnest. I always quote Ben Gurion. I heard this from Yitzhak Navon, who is Israel's fifth president. He was the aide-de-camp of Ben Gurion during Milchemet HaShichur. And he said, Ben Gurion said, during my lifetime, I want to see, Israel then had 700,000 Jews. He said, I want to see 2.5 million Jews. And everyone thought Ben Gurion was hallucinating, and within 4 years, you almost reached that number as a result of the gates opening from North Africa and the eastern countries. So he was appointed a dayan in Petach Tikva. In 1950, this is the background to what we're going to read, the two then chief rabbis, who were Rabbis Herzog and Uziel, Rabbi Ben Sion Meir Chai Uziel, the Sephardic chief rabbi, and Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Herzog, the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, seeing that Jews were coming to Israel from all of the countries in the world, convened what became called as Cherem Yerushalayim. Cherem Yerushalayim was bringing together all of the dayanim of the country, the rabbis and the dayanim of the country, to accept upon themselves, why the word cherem? Because in the many, you're familiar with the most famous one, cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. What is the next communication? The answer is the medieval communities legislated by means of a cherem. What gave them the right to legislate? They took upon themselves to accept these laws, and that anyone who did not accept these laws would be expelled from our community. So the elders of the community bound the community, or people in the community bound themselves to these laws by cherem. So Rabbis Uziel and Herzog gathered together all of the rabbis who were in any public position in the country, and they bound themselves by cherem to around 100 rulings on different issues, including, for instance, that no longer would Yibum be practiced. You began to have Yemenite Jews come, and they had more than one wife, and Yibum, levirate marriage, would no longer be practiced, and instead chalitza, the ceremony in which the miyabem, the lever, would renounce the right to yibum, would from now on be practiced. And there are about 100 different rulings that from now on should be the ruling that's accepted by everybody. What informed Cherem Yerushalayim is this feeling that we are in the middle of kibbutz galuyot, of an ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the world, and we need now to become one community, and we need to accept one standard. That's what's behind Cherem Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Herzog and Rabbi Uziel were informed by this great sense of unity that must be. You know who else was the champion of unity? Ben Gurion, of course. But You know, of course, that within Ben Gurion's unity, as well as Rabbi Herzog and Uziel, one has to say, this is unity according to what standard? According to Ashkenazi. Do you know that in the early 50s, there was a Haver Knesset who stood up in the Knesset in the very early 50s and who said, why do we need to bring so many Moroccans to Israel? We have enough cleaning ladies.
Okay.
And that was said in the Knesset. He was worried about unemployment.
Everybody else agreed with them.
That's right. That's the climate. And into this climate comes whom? Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Into this climate. And Rabbi Uziel, of course, forewent the Sephardi position, which was more lenient, because you can always be more stringent. Someone who's lenient is not going to violate anything if he takes upon himself a stringency. So in 100 different rulings, what was accepted was the Ashkenazi standard. Okay, comes a case before Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, and he's the Dayan in Petach Tikva. And the chief rabbi of Petach Tikva and the Av Beit Din was Rav Reuven Katz, the Degel Reuven. The case was a case of a Taimani who wanted to perform Yibur. And the rule now is there's no more Yibur. And Rabbi Ovadia Yosef did a criminal act. The Rabbi Reuven Katz sent the guy home and said, sorry, go do chalitza, you don't do yibum anymore. It is not to be practiced. And
even if the man is not married yet?
No. This man was married.
Okay.
This man was married. He wanted to perform yibum. He wanted to perform yibum. And he was told, go home, you can't. And Rabbi Yosef said, come here. And he said, he ruled to let this man perform Yibum. Now that's criminal. That's criminal. It's against the law of the state of Israel. The takanot of Cherem Yerushalayim were written into the law. And Rabbi Yosef was indifferent to the fact that the law says this, but that's not right for our community. Now, he was not trying to persuade the Ashkenazi. The same way that where I started out talking about the Ben Ish Chai, the issue wasn't with Ashkenazi, the issue was with Sephardim. And I hope you realize that today, most Sephardim rule, according to Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, a total revolution. So, I'm not going to read all of this, but go to the place that in source number 4, which is underlined, the second underlining, and that which was written by the Israeli chief rabbinate. And you have to realize the chief rabbis of then were rabbis of extraordinary stature. Sitting in the Beit Din HaGadol at this time were Rabbi El Yashiv. I think people don't realize it. The Beit Din HaGadol had Rabbi Eliashiv, Rabbi Waldenberg. Rabbi Eliyahu was in the Beit Din HaGadol. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was in the Beit Din HaGadol. People of tremendous stature. So he says as follows, and then he quotes Cherem Yerushalayim of Rabbi Uziel and Rabbi Herzog, ומשום דרכי שלום ואחדות במדינת ישראל שלא תהיה התורה כשתי תורות, לכן גוזרים לאסור לגמרי מצוות ייבום וחייבים להחלוץ דווקא. And for the sake of ways of peace and unity in the state of Israel, that the Torah should not be like two Torahs. Therefore, we rule to prohibit the mitzvah of Yibum entirely, and one must perform chalitza. Bimchilat kvod toratchem, hifrizu al hamida bezeh. with all due respect, they exaggerated. This is the same, this is 20 years later, but that 17-year-old who was reading the Ben Ish Chai and reading a line and saying, and this is wrong, and the next line and saying, and this is wrong, and this next line is saying, this is wrong, he's now saying, the words are totally mistaken. Behold, our rulings regarding shchita, regarding treifot, regarding other matters of ritual law, regarding Shabbat, regarding Tarat Mishpacha, it's not so that we all follow one ruling. It's just not so. So why are you demanding one ruling here? Kol kila noheget k'minhag avoteihem. Each community has its own rules. Hasfardim kadat Maran haMechaber Mechaber haShulchan Aruch. The Sfardim go according to the Shulchan Aruch. Vashkenazim. He says this hundreds of times in his tshuvot. You know the term from Sefer Shmot, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzim B'Yad Ramah, with a hey at the end. Israel went out with a high hand. So he has a pun here. Is Ashkenazim Yotzim B'Yad Ramah, with an aleph, meaning Rabbi Moshe Israelis of the Mapa and the Shulchan Aruch. V'chein noagim b'chilukei nuscha'ot, and we have different nuscha'ot in davening. V'amivta b'tfilo v'kriyat ha'Torah, we have different pronunciations. Uv'tzurat ha'ktav shel Sefer Torah tfilin u'mezuzot. Take a look at the calligraphy, and you'll see different calligraphy. We never worried about two Torahs. It is known that each side has upon what to rely. He's following his own traditions. And these are those are the words of the living God. Okay, now let's get to Tel Aviv.
So what happened
in this case? Pardon me?
So what happened in this case?
What happened was Rabbi Ovadia Yosef forced his hand.
And the woman, the man had two wives.
And the man performed Yimud.
Did he keep doing that, or was it just as an isolated case?
No, it's not. This was an isolated case, but the bottom, but what you see here through volumes and volumes of tshuvot is an independent ruling. Now we'll talk about where he became accepted and where not. In 1968, Rabbis Yosef and Gorin were both elected to be chief rabbis of Tel Aviv. And then issues began coming before him, including the following. Number five. In number five, the question was regarding marriage during the 3 weeks. You know, Ashkenazim from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz do not marry. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't marry from when? Rosh Chodesh Av. So Sfardi comes before him, and the rabbis are the registrars for marriage. So Sfardi comes before him and wants to get married after Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and before Rosh Chodesh Av. So he says as follows: L'didan bnei Sfarad shenoagim kedat Maran shekibalnu horaotav yesh lahatir b'fshitut leitchaten ad Rosh Chodesh Av. For we, the Sfardim, who follow the Shulchan Aruch, it is straightforward, if she took, is straightforward that one needs to permit them to marry until Rosh Chodesh Av, velo ad bichlal. Do you realize what's happening? This is the first time that someone is getting up before the Ashkenazi hegemony. I mean, this was never done. It was assumed that Sfardim need to accept the rule of the Ashkenazim. And who are these Sfardim anyway? Now, this is going to express itself ethnically in politics much later, but this is still 68. And he says as follows: V'shamati sheyesh toanim el dvarai. I heard that there are those who object to my words. Shemeachas sharabanim harashim b'Tel Aviv yachlov shekidmuni hinuchu haminhag lachmir. Since the rabbis before me the chief rabbis before me took the stringent ruling, v'lav miltahi shemakom hinicho li nitgader bo u'mikol shekein sheyadua sharabanim harashiim hasfaradim shekidmoni havei mechaf kaifei la'amitehem harabanim harashiim ha'ashkenazim. It is well known that the Sfaradi chief rabbis before me bowed before their Ashkenazi colleagues. Ha garbat uziel zal have kaif la hagrai kuk zat zal. He's talking about the rabbis of Tel Aviv. Rabbi Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel bowed before Rabbi Cook. Venodali merova avatoli ichud mizuk haidot itziel vater ulvater tashchita asfaradit. And Rabbi Uziel even wanted to banish Sfaradi shchita v'iskim shasfaradim kablu alem mishnehei hashchita shashkenazim. And he agreed that the Sfaradim, and for the sake of unity, he agreed the Sfaradim should take upon themselves the Ashkenazim min hagav shchita. Ella shahagon Sharon, this is what gets you to Rabbi Frank, shahagon Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank zal hityatzev kenegdo. The person who stood up against Rabbi Uziel, against banishing Sfaradi Shchita, was none other than Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. V'amar, afim heim harabanim ha-Sfaradim yivatru amin hagei ha-Shchita ha-Sfaradi. And Rabbi Frank said, even if the Sfaradi rabbis agree to forfeit Ashkenazi Shchita, akum ani, to forfeit Sfaradi Shchita, akum va'argen Shchita Sfaradi. I, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, are going to get up and organize Sfaradi Shchita. Shekol eidat צריכה להמשיך במסורתה ומן הגה המקובלים לדורי דורי. Every community needs to accept its tradition from generations, וכל שבט ושבט עליו לתפוס כמנהג אבותיו, קובץ הצבי ישראל, etc. Okay, that comes from Rabbi Frank. וכן הגרים תולדנו זל ביותו רב ראשי לתל אביב יפו לא היה יכול להרים ראש כנגד עמיתו יבדל חיים ארוכים הגרי אונטרמן. And likewise Rabbi Toledano never lifted up his head against Rabbi Unterman. שליטה לחלוק עליו בהערכה. In order to have a מחלוקת with him. והם היו ממונים ושולטים על הרבנים ושמושמי הנישואים והנהיגו הכל כמין בני אשכנז. And they all ruled according to the Ashkenazim. Now look at what's underlined. אבל ענן דלו קיינפינן תהילה לאל יתברך על משמרתי אעמודה. But I, who do not bow, may God be praised, I will stand guard. להחזיר עטרי ליושנה, to return the crown to its proper owner, להורות כדעת מרן שקיבלנו הורותיו, to rule like the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, Sfaradim can get married, Ashkenazim may not, but Sfaradim may marry until Rosh Chodesh Av, and I will return the crown to the master. Okay. Now, next, source number six. Source number six has to do with Matzah Ashira. Bakery owners in Tel Aviv wanted to make matzah ashira. Matzah ashira is matzah which is made instead of with water, it's made with juice. And there's a machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. As far as the Shulchan Aruch is concerned, mei perot enam machmitzim. Fruit juice does not cause fermentation. According to the Ramah, not just does fruit juice cause fermentation, but it causes quicker fermentation than water does. You get the machloket? Sfaradim say fruit juice does not ferment. Ashkenazim say not just does fruit juice ferment, but fruit juice is the most dangerous thing in the world because it causes fermentation more quickly than water does. So, in source number six, he brings, the Ramah says you can only use matzah ashira for people who are elderly or sick and unable to eat the harder matzah. You know, putting in fruit juice instead of water makes the matzah soft. The last two lines, Ava biyosha sfaradim nohagim kedat maran. Since Sfaradim follow the Shulchan Aruch, ויש כאן קהילה גדולה של ספרדים ועדות המזרח. And there is in Tel Aviv a great community of Sephardim and Eastern Jews שנהגו מימי עולם להקל בזה. Who from the beginning of time were lenient in this. אמרתי, שימה עיניים בבקשת בעלי המאפיות הנ"ל. I said, I will respond to the request of the bakers אשר הבטיחו שימכרו המצה השירה רק לספרדים ועדות המזרח. They promised me that they would only sell matzah ashira to Sephardim and Jews of the East, and therefore I said, why should you prohibit matzah ashira? Now you go today into any supermarket in Israel and you see matzah ashira. And Ashkenazim need to know not to buy matzah ashira. But Rabbi Yosef is saying, why prohibit it? Had he not made this ruling, our shelves would not look like they look before Pesach. Let's go further. Source number 7, the Heter Bechira. This is where Rabbi Yosef's ruling did not make it across ethnic lines. See, until now, what you have seen is Rabbi Yosef ruling for the Sephardim. As long as what Rabbi Yosef was doing was ruling for the Sephardim, the Ashkenazi Haredi establishment respected his right to rule for the Sephardim. I should mention, let's see, is the date here given? No, I don't have the date here. I wasn't able to download from the Bar Ilan Responsa project the protocols of the chief rabbinate. In 1973, rabbis Goren and Yosef, who had been chief rabbis in Tel Aviv, were both elected to the chief rabbinate of Israel. And that was a revolutionary thing because it's the first time that living chief rabbis were deposed. Until that point, the chief rabbinate was a position that you became a chief rabbi. It wasn't a political position. You were appointed a Rishon LeZion, and you remained Rishon LeZion until you passed on, or you were made chief rabbi. Rabbis Goren and Yosef were appointed in place of rabbis Nisim and Unterman. Rabbis Nisim and Unterman were deposed, something which caused great pain to Rabbi Unterman, and Rabbis Goren and Yosef were appointed in their place. 10 years later, the same thing happened to Rabbis Goren and Yosef. They were appointed for a 10-year tenure, and that was when Rabbi Yosef got into politics, because Rabbi Yosef was then a vigorous man in his early 60s, and he was retired from his position of chief rabbi, and Rabbi Eliyahu and Rabbi Shapira were appointed in place of Rabbis Goren and Yosef, and that was not something that he took kindly, but it was he and Rabbi Goren who had introduced the idea of, the law that was passed to enable the retiring of acting chief rabbis, active chief rabbis, was because of Rabbis Goren and Yosef. So when Rabbi Yosef became chief rabbi, the issue of Shemitah came before him, and Rabbi Yosef was, who was very much accepted by the Ashkenazi Haredi establishment, didn't bow before anyone. And he didn't bow before the Ashkenazi establishment. And he ruled on the Heter Mechira. I'm going to try to finish this up within 5 minutes. He ruled on the Heter Mechira in favor of the Heter Mechira because he felt most Israelis are not going to be able to follow, are not going to be able to follow the ruling against the Heter Mechira, and besides that, they're going to buy from, they're going to be developing Arab markets at the expense of Jewish, at Jewish markets. I'm just going to read one line here. He quotes, he first quotes Yaskil Avdi, that's Rabbi Hadaya of Eilat, that most people rely upon the Heter Mechira of the chief rabbinate, and just the minority don't rely upon it, and permit Israel to go on, this is Rabbi Yosef, to go on as is their practice. He's referring to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. It was done by great sages and Loli Frosh Min HaTzibur. The last tshuva that I brought you, and you're welcome to be reading this, I'm just going to cite it, had to do with his period as chief rabbi, where with the bringing of Ethiopian Jews to Israel. I don't think there's any figure who could have accomplished the bringing of Ethiopian Jews to Israel other than Rabbi Yosef. Why did he accomplish it? Because, again, he was dealing with Sfardim. So the Ashkenazim countenanced it because he was not ruling for us, he was ruling for them. You know, I'll end with something else. But what he did was he quoted the Radbaz, Rabbi David Ben Zimra, in Egypt in the 16th century, saying that the Ethiopians were Jews. And then I'm going to read a little something from here. Hine source 8. Hine kasher kihanti karav rashi Yisrael. Hey Shafti, this is from Yabia Omer Chedek Chet. When I was chief rabbi of Israel, I answered in Tashlag is 1973. In other words, very soon after he became chief rabbi, he took up the issue of Ethiopian Jews. Amasha katav haradbaz b'shut divrei David, she'elu hafalashim b'li safek heim yishevet dan. The Radbaz wrote, these falashas are certainly from the tribe of Dan. V'rak mipnei shelo hayu b'nehem chachamim mibalei ha-kabbalah. And just because they didn't have sages, tafsu lahem pishtei ha-mikraot. Therefore, because they didn't have sages to teach them, they explained everything according to the straightforward meaning of the text. V'dinam, in other words, without the Torah Shabbal Peh, Dinam ketinok shenishba levein hagoyim, they are to be judged like a baby that was taken captive by the Gentiles and never had the opportunity to be educated. V'dinam kiyisrael, and their law is like Israel. She'anu mitzuvim liftotam ulahachyotam. Ad kan tochen dvarav. This is the end of the quote of the Radbaz. V'chein pasak talmido ha-gaon Rav Yaakov Castro ba-gaot erech lechem v'chein matzan l'kama gaonim b'dor shelefaneinu shizkimu l'kviya zo. We have found many who agreed to this ruling of the Radbaz, or mehem ha-gaon ha-rishon sinya Rav Rafael Meir Panizil ואימו בית דין צדק בירושלים והגאון רבי עזריאל הילדסהיימר ועוד. לכן באתי למסקנה שהפלאשים הם צאצאים לשבט מישראל שהדרימו לכוש. Therefore, I have reached the conclusion based upon the Radbaz and the others who followed him that this is a tribe of Israel that went south to Ethiopia. ואין כל ספק שהגאונים חקרו ודרשו והגיעו למסקנה זו על פי עדויות וראיות מהימנות ביותר. And certainly these sages must have come to their conclusion after they investigated, and therefore I can rely upon them. The Kabbalah mipi rabotei, perhaps they had traditions of piyazo. Ulachar shenitbakashti minmanhigei hafalashim, asher ponu elav bakasha litchaber alachenu bnei Yisrael beruach haTorah veAlecha. And after these Falasha Jews have come to me, and they have begged to become part of Israel and the spirit of Israel, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, they've told me they wish to take on even the Torah Shebaalpeh without any limitation. Ulkayim kol mitzvot haTorah kedusha al pi horot Chazal. Amarti nafshi lo eit lachashot. I said I cannot hold back. This is not a moment that I can hold my quiet. V'chayavim anu la'atzilein mitbolut tmiya. And we've got to save them from assimilation. U'lehachish aliyatam arza and hasten their aliyah u'lechanchayim bahem beruach toretenu ha'kdosha. It took about 10 years until this was accepted. But he wrote in 1973, right after he became chief rabbi, that you have Jews there and they're going to assimilate if we don't bring them up to Israel. U'shafem b'vinyan ha'kdosha ha'kdosha. And therefore, I turn to the government, that I turn to the Jewish agency. And I said, come bring them up. And he relates, he goes on to say that don't pay attention to those people who are citing that I got this from Otsar Yisrael, from Eisenstein, and Eisenstein is a maskil, so you shouldn't pay attention to Eisenstein. He says, you have the rabbis, and these are Jews. I cannot, as I said, imagine anyone other than Rabbi Yosef who would have been listened to regarding the Ethiopians. You can make a coherent argument against him. The bottom line is, he chose to make the argument in favor of bringing Ethiopian Jews. Also in 1973 is the year of the Yom Kippur War. We moved to Israel a year beforehand. Whenever I say Yom Kippur War, we lived in Beit She'an by then, and I can see before my eyes the sight that will never be erased. Hundreds of tanks making their way at night with their headlights covered going up to the Golan. In the Yom Kippur War, there were about 900 bodies that were not found. This is because Israel fought in the Sinai, and Israel fought. I remember people saying, where are you? Oh, he's in Africa. And that meant he crossed the Suez Canal. There are about 900 bodies that were not found after the war. That means 900 agunot. Rabbi Yosef managed to free every one of them. That was not a year in which he got much sleep, in which through halakha, through his genius, through his encyclopedic knowledge, he was able to find a way to pronounce each one of these a war widow who can then remarry. What happened in the early 80s is that just as he had replaced Rabbi Nissim in the chief rabbinate, and had he not done so, the war widows would have been agunot. Had he not done so, although Rabbi Gorin was distressed that they came to Rabbi Yosef as the head of the Beit Din rather than coming to him, the Ethiopian Jews would not have come to Israel. But in the early 80s, Rabbis Eliyahu, who was Rabbi Yosef's chief foe, why would you talk about chief foe? Go back to the beginning of this shiur. He views as sacred the rulings of the Ben Ish Chai. And he was a mekubal. He was a mystic following the Ben Ish Chai. And I just have to mention one more thing, and then I'll finish up. Rabbi Yosef has asked a question about saying Kaddish in the cemetery when you have 9 men. Where are you going to get the 10th man? That's right. The Ben Ish Chai, the Mekubalim held that you could do that because
the spirit is still there.
Because the Niftar joins you and answers Amen in the Minyan. And Rabbi Yosef says there are those who I follow the tradition of Aram Tzova of Aleppo, where he tried for two, when he got married, his father-in-law said you should learn Kabbalah. For 2 months he tried, and then he said, I don't understand this. And so Rabbi Eliyahu replaced Rabbi Yosef, and it was then that Rabbi Yosef formed Shas. The impetus for forming Shas was in order to maintain a constituency. And in 1999, it took a little while, but Shas got 17 Knesset seats, and Ashkenazim were dumbfounded. Who are these people? And the ethnic specter had raised its head at that point in Israel.
What year did you say that?
That was 99.
Rabbi Eliyahu replaced Rabbi Eliyahu, around
1983, 1982, the chief rabbinate elections, 10 years into his term, I think 1983. So let me end thus. I mean, I'm sitting and trying to say, what tshuvot do I bring to you? What do I show you? I think if you walk into a class in Israel today, and you ask a high school kid to say, how many Sfaradim do you have in your class? How many Ashkenazim? Probably they'll say, who knows? But if you tried that in the 1950s, anybody, or in the 60s, anybody knew, and even in the 70s, anyone knew how many Ashkenazim and how many Sfaradim. And you have a remarkable revolution that Rabbi Yosef accomplished, in which the Shulchan Aruch has moved to the forefront center as a result of Rabbi Yosef's rulings. I think now the question is going to be not having the personality. When we were schmoozing beforehand, I mentioned before the class that today many people who during Shlomo Kalbach's lifetime would not have davened together with him or with his tunes, freely davened in a Kalbach minyan on Friday night. There's a difference between the personality and between the heritage. I am wondering how now that Rabbi Yosef, with the ethnic following that he had, is no longer, how will the Ashkenazim begin to relate to his rulings? Time will tell. Shalom. I'm delighted that we began again our learning, and you will be receiving a notice in the mail regarding next month's class. I hope we'll be able to meet frequently. I did, but not everyone was here. Sharon, many of us came late. I would like to suggest, since we tend to peter in, the official beginning time is 9:30. We're supposed to be able to drink a little coffee and then start exactly at 9:45. Sharon, perhaps you would like to end by Sharon or Chavi.
Sharon.
Okay. Inviting us to Sunday, so because not everyone was here when I spoke.
Okay, so I apologize. Cap situation on this lesson I feel this morning. But this is for my lateness. This Sunday we are graduating the first class of American trained Yod Sot, and we're having a fantastic celebration at the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue on 70th Street. It's going to begin at 11:30. It's not a long event. We expect it to be about an hour. But we have these 5 remarkable young women who all have appointments in communities. And it's really showing what we can accomplish with education and training, and particularly Rabbi Nechana Hinkin's vision. And we hope that you'll join us there.
They were trained here?
Trained here in America.
Where is it? Where is the train?
Thank you. Where is it? It's actually
physically?
Yes.
Where is the training going on? It's something which is fascinating. We have the five now are joining 80 yoetzot who've been trained in Israel. Most of the training has taken place here, physically in Ma'ayanot High School, which were very kind and let us use their Beit Midrash. But we've had teachers travel back from Israel to here. We've had the women come to Israel two summers. Their bechinot were in Israel. I have to say they performed marvelously on their bechinot. They are such a fabulous group. And Rabbi,
started.
Pardon me?
We have another group of six women who are studying right now.
So. Rabbi Kenneth Elman is giving shiur here together with Rabbi Gedalia Berger, and they had the same curriculum as in Israel. In other words, they've had, together with their halachic studies, they've had 2 years worth of seminars in women's health. So
it's going to be a historic occasion, and I hope everybody will make it.
It's going to be great.
Sharon's
right,
being modest.
Right, she's underselling. It's going to be great.
So, there is an invitation if anybody.